are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
So last week, Pastor Zinya Kesevich was here. How many of y'all enjoy Pastor Zinya? Huh? Just a couple of you. That's great. That means everybody was on vacation last week. But Pastor Zinya was former pastor of Hillsong, Kiev, and Moscow. And he and his wife pastor a great church in Miami called Dynamo. They are from Kiev. And he's got a great accent. He always jokes about his accent, but he's a phenomenal preacher. If you didn't get a chance to hear him, you can check it out on our podcast on iTunes. You can just go to City Place Church, my audio podcast. And so he was here last week to kick off our series called Drop the Mic. Drop the Mic is a series that we're doing where it's just messages that are not series per se, but just messages to give you something to think about. It's just kind of like when Jesus is talking, you can just drop the mic and just walk away. And so what we're doing is we're just having communicators that are just here with us for the month, along with my wife and I, that's just going to give us some life-giving messages. And so this week is my week. Last week, my wife and I, we were in Europe, and we were taking our kids, which is a great story. We were taking our kids, and we went to France. And when we got to France, it was a little chaotic, but we got it together. And then right around the middle of the week, we hopped on a train inside of France to go to London. When we got to London, as soon as you get off of the train and you start doing their public transport, you go into what they call a tube. We call it the subway. And when you walk in to the terminal, they have signs, here's where you go. But when you get actually to the tube, the train, they have this big sign on the ground that says, "Mind the gap." And as people are coming, all you hear is, "Mind the gap, mind the gap, mind the gap." Because it's different than it is in the States. There's like, you know, in the States, there's like a little small gap. Well, in Europe, there's a big gap. And people are prone literally to just walking and falling in the gap. And so what they've done, I think it was 1944, someone recorded, "Mind the gap." And so literally all throughout their tubes, all you hear is, "Mind the gap, mind the gap, mind the gap." So as I continue week number two of our Drop the Mic month of June, the focus of my message today is mind the gap. Minding the gap is the place where we take the first step, and it's that airy space to our destination. Are you with me?
Come on.
Stay with me. I'm just now getting started. See, remember I told you, in London, the gap is where most people fall. So in order to solve that problem, they had a man record, "Mind the gap." So when you hear it, you look at the gap and you step over the gap. But this morning, I want to preach on minding the gap. Moving from where we are to the destination. Are you with me? Now, if you'll help me out a little, because I wasn't here last week, which means I love preaching whenever I've been away. So I'm going to be a little bit more passionate as normal, but probably with a little extra sauce. And so if this is your first time here, my name is Damon. My wife and I, we are the lead pastors of City Place Church. She is actually still in France for work. And I won't see her for a while. So you pray my strength in the Lord, because I love that woman. I love her. And when we separated, I miss her. Like, she posted something online and it was spiritually deep. And all I could say was, "Girl, you look good." I'm serious. She called down. She was like, "Lord, we got to be careful from pickpockets." And I was like, everyone's like, "Oh, girl, I needed that." I was like, "Girl, I need you." Come on. Anybody else like that? Married couples, look. When she's away, come on, stretch your hands forward, Lord. Just touch me now. I said, no, I'm just playing. But I'm not really playing. I'm serious. But this morning, I do feel a little preachy, meaning I feel a little extra passionate. Because last week, Pastor Zinya talked about pumping up your faith. And there was no way that I was going to preach on something sad after what he preached last week. Like, I wasn't going to be like, "Faith, revelations, end times." Can't do that this week. No, this week, if he's going to talk about faith and kick us off with faith, and the first point that he said last week was that all of us have a measure of faith. But here's the thing. What do we do with a measure of faith when the thing that we're going for is bigger than our measure of faith? Come on. Right? Come on. Like, because I'm going for this. Like, the church that we see is a church that's full with multiple campuses. Come on. Okay? Come on. But the measure of faith that I have and that rests in this church is obviously enough for what God sees for us, right? But it's the actual process between us moving from North Carolina, like, to us walking out what we see. What do we do between when God says something and when God does something? That's the gap. I have a measure of faith. But what do I do when I say yes and then he says something? Let's go into our text today. We're going to have fun, y'all. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Again, welcome if this is your first time. We have decided that we would be a passionate church for Jesus because Jesus is extremely passionate for us. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to read two passages of scripture. They'll be up on the screen. You also have sermon notes. If we need a little bit more lighting, the team can bring that up. You need a little bit more lighting, okay? So can you bring up the lighting just a little bit for everyone? He was like, amen. Like, normally it's like, amen. He's like, yes, 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 please, please, lighting, fourth row on the end. I love talk back. It's good. Acts chapter 3, we'll bring up the lighting for you. Thank you for letting us know. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. He was not only injured, he was lame, he was paralyzed, he was also in need of money. Are you with me so far? And he was asking alms of those who went into the temple. They were going to church. Okay? It would be the equivalent of someone who was laying outside of our building this morning while you were coming in. Okay? Just to give you context. Who seeing Peter and John, this is the man who seeing Peter and John about to go into church, the temple, asked them for money, asked them for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. The something there is defined, he wants money. But I love how the author of this story says something. Because anything can happen if you're expecting something. I ain't preaching about that though, yo. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. Watch now, here's the kicker. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What you're asking for is not really what you desire. You got that? Yes. I'm preaching already. I told you, I'm coming out hot. I've been listening to Lecrae coming in hot. My boys got me fired up. Coming in hot. What? Sorry, they do. Watch. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm going to give it to you, and it's going to change your life. Why don't you get up right now and walk? That's what they say. And he took him, this is Peter, and he took him by his right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. He went to church with them, y'all. Walking, leaping and praising God. Can I pause right here? I promise you, I'm not even on my notes right now. But I love this because the Bible says that Peter and John are walking in the church. They see a lame man in front of the building. The man doesn't even want to get in the building. He wants a little bit of money. They look at him and they say, what we possess is really what you need. You're sitting outside of the power source. We're going to make sure you get a taste of the power source so that you can come in and receive the power source all for yourself. That's just how I read the text. So they say, look, you're perfect. I needed a lame man. You came down the aisle at the perfect time. Seriously, because I was like, there was no one there. I needed to reach somebody. I was going to reach for her and the Lord sent you. Boy, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Dotty Pebbles. All right, here we go. So look, reach down. Say, no, no, I'm serious. I was 100% serious.
Oh.
Yeah. Look, so the Bible says that he reached down. Reached down, and he grabbed the man and lifted him up. Notice, he says, what I have, I'm giving you. Rise up and walk. Now watch. To make sure that he doesn't stay where he is, Peter goes the distance. Other than just saying, you need Jesus. Get up and come to church with me. You need to have a God encounter. You need Jesus. He says, since I've got the power and you're stuck, I'm going to change your moment right now. Since I possess Jesus with me, he says, rise up and walk, because what you're asking for is the something that you don't really need. Get up and walk. So the faith happens by him declaring Jesus' name. The encounter happened when he pulled him up. When he pulled him up, the Bible says that his ankles and his feet gained strength. But the crazy thing happened after that. It says that after that, he started walking. Maybe he did the moonwalk. What? You know that that would be awesome. And his Bible says that he started leaping. I don't know how he did it. Scarecrow just saw the Wicked. Great theater, by the way. And then he started praising God. I don't know. The miracle earlier, just so y'all know, the miracle that we talked about with Rachel in our team time, we were all doing like old church moves. I don't know if he did the jig. I don't know if he did the bunny hop. I don't know what, I don't know if he did a spin. I don't know what he did, but the Bible says that he walked and he leaped, and then all of a sudden he started acting crazy. I don't know what he did, but what I do know is when he had an encounter with Jesus, not only did his life change, but his response changed.
Come on. Yes.
Are you with me? That's not even in my notes. But watch. So the encounter that he has with Jesus, he was lame. Watch now. We're minding the gap. He was lame. The gap between what Peter said to the man was met by Peter stretching out his hand, which was the gap. Peter could have said, rise up and walk and waited. But instead, Peter said, let me mind the gap for him, just in case he's wondering if this won't happen. So he says, let's mind the gap. Got it. Brought him up. The man said, if it's for real, let me try it.
Come on.
He didn't stop with just the walking. He said, if I can walk, I've seen people do this before. Let me try it. Maybe he heard the story of David. When David gained back the presence of God and he said, okay, let me see if this praise things work. I feel really silly right now. I don't know what he did, but in the moments where there could have been a gap, the gap was filled. Are you with me? Rise up and walk. Oh, right now. Walk. Leap. I feel like coming to America. Bark like a dog. Arf, arf, a big dog. I'm just playing. Movies. You got to love movies. Look, y'all, I'm jet lagged. I haven't slept, seriously. Anything I say can and will be held against me. So he's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God. The gap between is being filled with a response and an action. You and I have to mind the gap between when God says something and God does something, because it puts us at risk. From the beginning of the story, we see that as soon as God says something, there's an immediate response. You cannot allow for the gap period to go for an extended period of time. There has to be some sort of action between you or the person who's delivering something to you so that you can continually progress in your relationship with God. I'm preaching already, and I haven't even finished the text. Here we go. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Watch now. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. People are watching. People are watching. People are watching. They watched him as he walked and praised God. Then they knew that it was the one who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on, say what? He held on to Peter and John. All of the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. And they were greatly amazed. Okay, hold on. Let me pause here for a second. The man was just walking, leaping, and praising God. Why did he come out of church having to lean again? I wonder what happened in the gap period. Something took place to where after he walked and he leaped to where now he felt like I have to lean again.
Come on.
We have to mind the gap.
Come on.
One more verse and then we'll break everything down. Acts chapter 4, 13 through 14 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that those two men had been with Jesus. And seeing the man, the same man who had been healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Let's break it down and then let's get everybody home. Is that all right? Here we go. Acts chapter 3. The Bible says that there's a lame man begging outside of the gate. He has an encounter with Peter and John. The Bible says that he begins to walk, leap, praise God. He goes into God's house. But somewhere in between, he runs into a gap. He runs into a gap. He has his healing. But when he comes out of church, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, refers to him again as a lame man. How is it that he could be a healed man going into church, come out a lame man again by description? That leads me to believe, watch now, that the healing process will take time. Because it can be the physical thing, but our soul can still be depleted. That the process that it will take for the full completion is going to have a gap period. So he goes in leaping and praising God. He comes out leaning. I wonder if while he was in service, he didn't mind the gap. I don't really know. I'm just using it to preach this morning. But something caused him to lean after he was leaping, walking, and praising God. It leads me to believe that so many times in our life that you guys today, along with myself, we can leave here with a life-giving message, get back to our car, and lean.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Having full power, having full healing, having the miracle and still feel the urgency to lean. Leaning on the one that spoke the miracle, leaning on the life. Some of us come to church every single week because it's a lean. I go throughout the week and I don't put in my work, but I will know when I get back to City Place, they will speak life to me and then I'll walk and leap. But then when the week begins, I'll need to lean again. What happens when we don't mind the gap between when God says something and God does something? We have full victory now, but we lean. If Jesus took it all on the cross, why do we lean? Why do we lean? It's the gap between when God says and when God does. He starts off lame, gets his miracle, walks, leaps, praising God, has a period where all of a sudden he comes back and he's leaning again. The end of the story, which we'll focus on at the end, says that he ends up standing. I got to just set that aside for now. We will get there, I promise. Here's what the Lord began to show me. In the gap moment, in the gap, this is on your notes, in the gap, that's where God reveals himself to you. But watch now. But it's normally where I ignore his plan. See, I get mine. Thank you. I got mine. And God's like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. The miracle happened so that I can reveal myself to you. Not so that you can scratch that off your list. He's not a genie in a bottle where you got to rub him the right way. Look, worked in two, worked in two, worked in two. He's not. He is not your give me three wishes. He is not some sort of just benefit being. He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of the world. The Bible says that he has put you in a position to whereby you can call him dad. So you're not dealing with just God. Yes, he is, but you're dealing with dad. So when you approach dad, you can't rub dad's belly. No, I want to know more about who you are. In the gap period, this is where God wants to reveal himself. He starts off by saying, here you go. I did that because I love you. Amen. What we do, though, is we get in the gap. We take the step because it happened. Praise the Lord. But we don't mind the gap. And God's trying to reveal himself. And what we do is we ignore it. Look at what Jeremiah says. You will seek me and find me when you. When you search for me with everything you have. Do you know what that tells me? If you're giving God 80%, you're not giving him everything and he will be hard to find.
Come on.
Y'all all right? If you give him less than 100%, he is hard to find. In the gap period between when God says something and God does something, he's trying to reveal himself, but this is where I've been guilty of ignoring him. Come on. He's trying to talk, but I'm like, wait a second. You just blessed me with this right here. I got to look for the next thing, because if you did it for Rachel, you're going to do it for me. And after you heal my body, what about this new home I want? Come on now. You know I'm serving you faithfully. You know I'm tithing. You know I go to church every single week. What's up? Why the delay? You ever do that? God's keeping you alive and you're like, but why aren't you answering my prayer? You got a job, but you're like, why aren't you supplying my need? Am I the only one? I feel like I'm in therapy. I'm just confessing everything I do. No one else does that? No one else has a list that you just go down? And most of the time you're talking to God, you're talking about your list? And you're almost like yelling at him, why won't you do? Why didn't you do? How long is this going to take? Have you forgotten about me? God's like, I am trying to reveal myself to you because I want to know you. And you're ignoring me. You're supposed to be chasing after me. I've already chased after you. I gave you my son, Jesus. You have full access to me, and you're still sitting outside waiting for your name to be called. Come in, please. Come in, please. The door's wide open. Why are you waiting for me to call your name? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Here's a couple of questions that I wrote down that I just wanted you guys to ask yourselves, because I was asking myself this week. Am I in search of him or his benefits? You know what I mean? Like, do I just want the shiny object? Or do I want his presence? Like, if there was no added benefits in the natural, would I want him?
Come on. Yes. Come on.
Say that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of our old school believers that's been around, they would ask you, would you serve him if there was nothing in it for you?
Come on. Come on.
Would you? Mm-hmm. It's just a question. Or is it the benefits that look real good? That was one of the things that I had to ask myself about pastoring. It's because sometimes when we see pastors, it looks real glamorous. But what you don't see is the battle behind it. So what we scrutinize sometimes, what you don't know. So you have to ask yourself the thing that I'm pursuing. Am I pursuing it because it's a benefit? Or am I pursuing it because it's you in the middle of it? It's just a question. That's all. It's just a question, not trying to offend nobody. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It doesn't say and reach for his benefits. He says, you're going to bless the Lord because his benefits are good to you. David is telling his soul, like, hey, if you ain't got not one reason, then yeah, look at his benefits. But don't you focus on those. When you need to find a reason to go after him, here it is. He healeth all your disease. Read Psalms 103. There's a reason around you somewhere to push hard into his presence. If you don't, you ain't minding the gap.
Come on.
Come on, y'all. Second question. Is my heart desperate to find him? Am I desperate to find him? You know what, Pastor Damon? Yeah, I want to search for him. He's the only one. Are you desperate? Are you looking for him every single day as if you never found him?
Come on.
Because if you're like me, we can have passionate worship. And I've been guilty of this. Can I just confess everything to y'all? Don't y'all tell nobody. No, just playing. There are times as a pastor that I can miss God's presence in service because I'm thinking about what we need to do better.
Come on now.
We need to. And God's like, oh, I get it. Today, you're focused on how many people are going to be there. Got it. Okay, so this week you're preaching to the people in the seats. Okay, Damon, versus preaching unto me. Come on. I hope y'all don't mind me telling them myself. Don't hold it against me. See, everybody's guilty of it. I can preach to you and then go be mad at God for those who weren't here.
Come on, man.
I'm giving all I got. And God's like, whenever you through, why don't you celebrate me for the one hand that all of heaven is throwing a party over? You're over here complaining, but one person's whole family line has changed and all of heaven has stopped and threw a party. Get your behind up. Do you want the benefit? Or are you searching for me? I'm just telling them myself. Hopefully y'all can find something in my own butt kicking from the Lord. Is your heart desperate to find him or not? It's a yes or no. There is no maybe. And then here's the final question I had, just in point number one of God revealing himself. On a scale of 1 to 10, how serious are you about your heart with God? How serious am I about my heart for God? Be honest. I'm a 5, 4, 3, 6. This week, as you push into God's presence, be honest with yourself. Don't cheat. I'm a 3. I'm a 2. I'm a 9. I'm a 10. I'm going to tell you, 10 is hard. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God face to face. 10 is hard. 10 is hard, y'all. Okay? When you're going up to the mountaintop and your face is going, that's a 10. That is a 10. I have not reached 10 status yet. And if I do, I'm going on tour. This is what his presence is like right here. Scale of 1 to 10. Here's the second thing the Lord showed me. In this story, I healed him, Damon. There was no gap in between. He went in the service. Something happened. He came out, he started leaning again. Here's what I realized, is that God wants to cleanse you. God wants to cleanse you. Oh, I got it. So the author says that the lame man came back out again. But he was healed, wasn't he? The story said that he was healed. He walked up, he was healed. But then Luke refers to him again as the lame man, even though he was healed because he was still leaning. So that leads me to believe that there's some places that God was still working on in him. See, the reason why there is the gap period between when God says and God does and the minute you step is because God wants to cleanse you. But this is normally where I resist his plan.
Come on.
See, in the first one, when he's trying to talk, I ignore. Okay, you ain't talking to me. Then he wants to clean the areas where I know that I'm sinning, where I know that I'm jacked up, and I resist. Oh, no, 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 no. We ain't touching that because that makes me feel good. All of us have those places where we know it makes our flesh feel good. And you can hear us preaching about it and talking about it. And you can read God's word and you get a conviction. But you say, oh, no, not that one. No, I ain't changing my view of watching that. No, I'm not. I ain't changing my view of listening to that. I ain't changing my view of smoking that. I ain't changing my view of doing this on the side. I ain't doing that. For you, I love you very much with all of my heart. Oh, boy, your presence is good. I wonder if we're seeking him with our whole heart. Just saying, because in the gap period, that's normally where he works to cleanse us, and we resist it. First Peter says, like newborn babies, you must, again, you must crave the pure spiritual milk. The pure, it's not tainted. The pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Let me say this again. The lame man was healed, walking, leaping, praising God. He came out. The author refers to him as lame again. He's leaning again. I wonder if it was because the full process was beginning to take shape and he was needing to mind the gap. Come on. But he still felt the need to lean. Cry out for this nourishment, Peter says, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Listen, Peter says this. He says, look, your desire for the pure spiritual milk should be high. So much so you're like, hey, where is what you have for me today? What you gave me when I first met you, there has got to be more. Jesus, I'm coming at you today because I've got to have more of who you are. I've got to know more of you. It says, cry out, get loud, so that you can experience the fullness of your salvation. Can I tell you, you and I are still in the middle. Once you begin something, you're in the middle. You are in the middle. You can't, like, go back and start again. The minute you say, go, I'm in the middle. The middle seems like it's the middle, like the halfway mark. No, the middle begins as soon as I step forward. The process has already begun. The ending point is normally defined by you and I because we normally get stuck in the middle. God wants to cleanse you because this is normally where we resist his plan. Acts chapter 4, 13 through 14 says this. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I read this verse and I was enamored by it because inside of it, it tells of the middle. Because Peter was the same dude that denied Jesus three times in the middle. There was a moment when Jesus was about to die. And Peter walked with God. He was like, boy, I'm going to tell you what. We are heart and soul. He my boy. Jesus looked at him and said, man, you're going to deny me three times. Never will I. We going to the grave together. You understand? Hand in the glove, you and me, Jay. You my boy. You my boy. Jesus is being pulled. And they're like, oh, my goodness, you were with Jesus. You're like, no, I'm not. No. You were with Jesus. You're like, no, I'm not. Someone else comes a little bit late. No, we're like, he was like, he started cussing. What the so-and-so. No, I'm not. He went full extreme. He didn't mind the gap. The pressure was too much because, oh, no, when it came time, me and Jesus, we really not like that. Because what you're asking me for costs me too much pain. I don't know what's going to happen on the other end. You might kill me. He ain't worth that. My life is worth more. That's the reason why some of us don't tithe. That's the reason why some of us don't serve. That's the reason why some of us don't come to church. That's the reason why sometimes we don't go the extra 5 minutes in God's presence. That's the reason why I sometimes can be mad at God
because you didn't come to church on Sunday.
Come on.
Because when the blows start coming, I got to decide if I really meant what I said. It's in the middle where God wants to cleanse you. But it's where we normally resist. I wrote this because he was leaning, and this stuck out in my head. It's possible to be healed, but not whole. It's possible to be healed and not whole. I can look the part. They marveled, the Bible says. They marveled at him. And he came out leaning. I can prove it to you. Luke chapter 17 says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down at Jesus' feet, giving thanks, because he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed lepers? Where are the other 9? There are not found that return to glorify God, save this stranger. And Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. You mean to tell me that I cleaned 10? 9 took it and ran.
Come on.
1 got it in the middle. Let me see if he was trying to reveal himself to me. He goes back to Jesus. When he gets to Jesus, the Bible says that he worships Jesus, which means that he didn't ignore that God was trying to reveal himself to him.
Come on.
The Bible says that he gets to Jesus, he worships Jesus, and Jesus says, oh man, you got it. I cleansed those guys. But because you came back and allowed me to cleanse you, your faith made you whole.
Come on.
See, when I mind the gap, I realize that God not only wants to reveal himself to me, but he wants to cleanse me. Come on. If I don't ignore him trying to reveal himself to me, if I don't resist the fact that he's trying to cleanse me, I leave differently.
Amen.
I leave changed. Look, get somebody beside you, say, mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
Worship team, you can come back up. I'm going to give you one more. Can we continue this later? How about that?
Yes.
We'll continue later. Write this down in the note. Many of us take from him and give him nothing in return.
Come on.
Many of us take from him and give him nothing in return. Many of us take from him and give him nothing in return. So let's just create a place to pause. Is that all right? We'll create a place to pause. The lame man has an encounter with Peter and John. They pull him up to make sure there's no gap. He walks, he leaps, he praises God. He gets into the temple. He comes out leaning. Ugh. And then in Acts chapter 4, it says in verses 13 and 14, I believe it's up there, it says that he was then standing with them. Here's how I feel like the story actually played out. The leaning was because there was a work still being done, and he knew he couldn't do it by himself. We lean sometimes because that's just our normal stuck position.
Come on.
I believe that he was leaning because there was still more work to be done.
Come on.
When you read Acts chapter 4,
Peter is beginning to preach the gospel of Jesus, and the man is listening while he's leaning. By the time Peter is finished with his message, the man is standing. God was doing something on the inside of him to change him. So this morning you walked into City Place Church, and you may find yourself at the start, or maybe you're in the middle. This morning, I just want to challenge you to let God reveal himself to you and let God work on you. Pursue him like never before. Go after him with everything you got. Don't hold anything back. Because by the time you're through, you'll be able to step through the gap and end up in the place where God has designed for you. Give him everything you got. Give him everything you've got. Don't hold anything back. 80% is not good enough, y'all. When he wants to give you everything he's got, give him everything.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.